Chapter 13. A long and thoughtful silence followed his departure. The room seemed very still, as rooms always did when Captain Bigger went out of them. Bill was sitting with his chin supported by his hand, like Rodin's penseur. Then he looked at Jeeves, and, having looked, shook his head. "No, Jeeves," he said.
"M'lord?"
"I can see that feudal gleam in your eye, Jeeves. You are straining at the leash, all eagerness to lend the young master a helping hand. Am I right?"
"I was certainly feeling, m'lord, that in view of our relationship of thane and vassal, it was my duty to afford your lordship all the assistance that lay within my power."
Bill shook his head again. "No, Jeeves, that's out. Nothing will induce me to allow you to go getting yourself mixed up in an enterprise which, should things not pan out as planned, may quite possibly culminate in a 5-year stretch of one of our popular prisons. I shall handle this binge alone, and I want no backchat about it."
"But, m'lord..."
"No backchat," I said, Jeeves.
"Very good, m'lord."
"All I require from you is advice and counsel. Let us review the position of affairs. We have here a diamond pendant which, at the moment of going to press, is on the person of Mrs. Spotsworth. The task confronting me..." "I said me, Jeeves..." "is somehow to detach this pendant from this person and nip away with it unobserved. Any suggestions?"
"The problem is undoubtedly one that presents certain points of interest, m'lord."
"Yes, I'd got as far as that myself."
"One rules out anything in the nature of violence, I presume, placing reliance wholly on stealth and finesse."
"One certainly does. Dismiss any idea that I propose to swat Mrs. Spotsworth on the napper with a blackjack."
"Then I would be inclined to say, m'lord, that the best results would probably be obtained from what I might term the spider sequence."
I don't get you, Jeeves."
"If I might explain, m'lord, your lordship is joining the lady in the garden?"
"Probably on a rustic seat."
"Then, as I see it, m'lord, conditions will be admirably adapted to the plan I advocate. If shortly after entering into conversation with Mrs. Spotsworth, your lordship were to affect to observe a spider on her hair, the spider sequence would follow as doth the night the day. It would be natural for your lordship to offer to brush the insect off. This would enable your lordship to operate with your lordship's fingers in the neighbourhood of the lady's neck. And if the clasp, as Captain Bigger assures us, is loose, it will be a simple matter to unfasten the pendant and cause it to fall to the ground. Do I make myself clear, my lord?"
"All straight so far. But wouldn't she pick it up?"
"No, my lord, because in actual fact it would be in your lordship's pocket. Your lordship would institute a search in the surrounding grass, but without avail, and eventually the search would be abandoned until the following day. The object would finally be discovered late tomorrow evening."
"After Bigger gets back?"
"Precisely, my lord."
Nestling under a bush?"
"Or on the turf, some little distance away. It had rolled."
"Do pendants roll?"
"This pendant would have done so, m'lord."
Bill chewed his lower lip thoughtfully. "So, that's the spider sequence?"
"That is the spider sequence, m'lord."
"Not a bad scheme at all."
"It has the merit of simplicity, my lord. And if your lordship is experiencing any uneasiness at the thought of opening cold, as the theatrical expression is, I would suggest our having what in stage parlance is called a quick run-through."
A rehearsal, you mean?"
"Precisely, my lord. It would enable your lordship to perfect yourself in lines and business. In the Broadway section of New York, where the theatre industry of the United States of America is centred, I am told that this is known as ironing out the bugs."
"Ironing out the spiders?"
"Ha ha ha, my lord. But if I may venture to say so, it is unwise to waste the precious moments in verbal pleasantries."
Time is of the essence?"
"Precisely, my lord. Would your lordship like to walk the scene?"
"Yes, I think I would. If you say it's going to steady the nervous system, I feel as if a troop of performing fleas were practicing buck and wing steps up and down my spine."
"I have heard Mr. Wooster complain of a similar malaise in moments of stress and trial, my lord. It will pass."
When?
As soon as your lordship has got the feel of the part. A rustic seat, your lordship said.
That's where she was last time.
Scene, a rustic seat, murmured Jeeves. Time, a night in summer. Discovered at rise, Mrs. Spotsworth. Enter Lord Roaster. I will portray Mrs. Spotsworth, my lord. We open with a few lines of dialogue to establish atmosphere, then bridge into the spider sequence. Your lordship speaks. Bill marshalled his thoughts.
Tell me, Rosie.
Rosie, my lord?
Yes, Rosie, blast it. Any objection?
None whatever, my lord.
I used to know her at Cannes.
Indeed, my lord. I was not aware. You were saying, my lord?
Tell me, Rosie, are you afraid of spiders?
Why does your lordship ask?
There's rather an outsized specimen crawling on the back of your hair.
Bill sprang about 6 inches in the direction of the ceiling.
What on earth did you do that for?
He demanded irritably. Jeeves preserved his calm. My reason for screaming, my lord, was merely to add verisimilitude. I suppose that was how a delicately nurtured lady would be inclined to react on receipt of such a piece of information.
Well, I wish you hadn't. The top of my head nearly came off.
I am sorry, my lord, but it was how I saw the scene. I felt it here, said Jeeves, tapping the left side of his waistcoat. If your lordship would be good enough to throw me the line once more.
There's rather an outsized specimen crawling on the back of your hair.
I would be grateful if your lordship would be so kind as to knock it off.
I can't see it now. Ah, there it goes, on your neck.
And that, said Jeeves, rising from the settee on which, in his role of Mrs. Spotsworth, he had seated himself, is cue for business, my lord. Your lordship will admit that it is really quite simple.
I suppose it is.
I am sure that after this tryout, the performing fleas to which your lordship alluded a moment ago will have substantially modified their activities.
They've slowed up a bit, yes, but I'm still nervous.
Inevitable on the eve of an opening performance, my lord. I think your lordship should be starting as soon as possible. If 'twere done, then 'twere well 'twere done quickly. Our arrangements have been made with a view to a garden set. It would be disconcerting were Mrs. Spotsworth to return to the house, compelling your lordship to adapt your technique to an interior. Bill nodded.
I see what you mean. Right here, Jeeves. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my lord.
If anything goes wrong...
Nothing will go wrong, my lord.
But if it does, you'll write to me in Dartmoor occasionally, Jeeves. Just a chatty letter from time to time. Give me the latest news from the outer world.
Certainly, my lord.
It'll cheer me up as I crack my daily rock. They tell me conditions are much better in these modern prisons than they used to be in the old days.
So I understand, my lord.
I might find Dartmoor a regular home from home. Solid comfort, I mean to say.
Quite conceivably, my lord.
Still, we'll hope it won't come to that.
Yes, my lord.
Yes. Well, goodbye once again, Jeeves.
Goodbye, my lord. Bill squared his shoulders and strode out, a gallant figure. He'd summoned the pride of the Roasters to his aid, and it buoyed him up. With just this quiet courage had a Roaster of the 17th century mounted the scaffold at Tower Hill, nodding affably to the headsman and waving to friends and relations in the audience. When the test comes, blood will tell. He'd been gone a few moments when Jill came in. It seemed to Jeeves that, in the course of the past few hours, the young master's betrothed had lost a good deal of the animation which rendered her, as a rule, so attractive, and he was right. Her recent interview with Captain Bigger had left Jill pensive and inclined to lower the corners of the mouth and stare mournfully. She was staring mournfully now.
Have you seen Lord Roaster, Jeeves?
His lordship has just stepped into the garden, miss.
Where are the others?
Sir Roderick and her ladyship are still in the library, miss.
And Mrs. Spotsworth?
She stepped into the garden shortly before his lordship. Jill stiffened.
"Oh,"
she said, and went into the library to join Monica and Rory. The corners of her mouth were drooping more than ever, and her stare had increased in mournfulness some 20%. She looked like a girl who was thinking the worst, and that was precisely the sort of girl she was. 2 minutes later, Captain Bigger came bustling in with a song on his lips. Yoga and communion with the Jivatma, or soul, seemed to have done him good. His eyes were bright and his manner alert. It is when the time for action has come that you always catch these white hunters at their best.
"Pale hands, I love beside the Shalimar. Where are you now? Where are you now?"
sang Captain Bigger.
How does the dashed thing go? I sink beneath your spell. La 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 la. Where are you now? Where are you now? For they're hanging Denny Deaver in the morning,"
he carolled, changing the subject. He saw Jeeves and suspended the painful performance.
"Hello," he said. "Quay hey, my man. How are things?"
"Things are in a reasonably satisfactory state, sir."
"Where's Patch Rooster?"
"His lordship is in the garden, sir."
"With Mrs. Spotsworth?"
"Yes, sir. Putting his fate to the test to win or lose it all."
"You thought of something then?"
"Yes, sir. The spider sequence."
"The how much?"
Captain Bigger listened attentively as Jeeves outlined the spider sequence, and when he'd finished, paid him a stately compliment.
"You do well out east, my boy."
"It is extremely kind of you to say so, sir."
"That's to say, if that scheme was your own."
"It was, sir."
"Then you be just the sort of chap we want in Kuala Lumpur. We need chaps like you, chaps who can use their brains. Can't leave brains all to the Dyaks. Makes the blighters get above themselves."
"The Dyaks are exceptionally intelligent, sir."
"Are they? Let me tell you of something that happened to Tubby Frobisher and me one day when we..."
He broke off, and the world was deprived of another excellent story. Bill was coming through the French window. A striking change had taken place in the Ninth Earl in the few minutes since he'd gone out through that window. A young man of spirit setting forth on a high adventure. His shoulders, as we have indicated, had then been square. Now they sagged, like those of one who bears a heavy weight. His eyes were dull, his brow furrowed. The pride of the roasters appeared to have packed up and withdrawn its support. No longer was there in his bearing any suggestion of that 17th-century ancestor who'd infused so much of the party spirit into his decapitation on Tower Hill. The ancestor he most closely resembled now was the one who was caught cheating at cards by Charles James Fox in 1782.
"Well?"
cried Captain Bigger. Bill gave him a long, silent, mournful look and turned to Jeeves.
"Jeeves?"
"My lord?"
"That spider sequence?"
"Yes, my lord."
"I tried it?"
"Yes, my lord."
"And things looked good for a moment. I detached the pendant."
"Yes, my lord."
"Captain Bigger was right. The clasp was loose. It came off."
Captain Bigger uttered a pleased exclamation in Swahili.
"Gimme,"
he said.
"I haven't got it. It slipped out of my hand."
"And fell?"
"And fell."
"You mean it's lying in the grass?"
"No,"
said Bill, with a sombre shake of the head.
"It isn't lying in any ruddy grass. It went down the front of Mrs. Spotsworth's dress. It is now somewhere in the recesses of her costume."